Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain. We're looking about a 4-hour flight time today. We've got clear skies, good visibility. Flight attendants, please prepare for takeoff.
Afternoons on the Horn with Chad Hastings and Kevin Dunn.
You guys both look like you might want to hit me in the face.
On the Horn, 104.9, AM 1260, and hornfm.com. With the Longhorns Play and Austin Talk Sports.
Afternoon delight.
You damn right. Let's go. Hour number one on a Thursday. Just that much closer to Texas OU. Chapter 115. Trey Elling, you just heard him. Shout out to Trey and BK doing a little extra work today. In fact, twice the radio today as they filled in for Rod Babers on the Rodcast. Rod's headed up to Dallas already. He'll be at that celebrity softball game tonight in Frisco. We'll be visiting with Rod, just like we always do, 3:30 and 4:30. We've got your chance to win some Texas football tickets for the next home game. We'll tell you how to do that coming up here in just a couple minutes. I'm Chad Hastings, and sitting right next to me is Kevin Dunn.
Oh, man, we're almost there, man. Mm-hmm. Are you leaving tonight?
Tomorrow morning.
Okay.
Going to go up tomorrow morning. Have a little lunch in Waxahachie and then head on up. Yes,
exactly. Sushi, I'd imagine. In
yes,
the hatch.
Well, lovely, lovely little place downtown. Looking forward to that. Always look forward to this trip. We will talk plenty of football today, but something tells me we might need to start with a little baseball today.
One of the dragons is out. The Los Angeles Dodgers. All year long, I talked about how they came to spring training early. You know, they've been to two straight World Series. The first one after they thought, let's give us rest. Let's start real slow. Let's use spring training as pretty much doing nothing. And then the first couple of weeks, and it didn't work. Guys like Bellinger and Turner said, we have to, you know, we're just going to have to swallow it and deal with it. It's one of the things about getting to the World Series. Let's just make sure we win. And Bellinger came out and was just phenomenal in the first half. I mean, was epic. And he wasn't much in this series. And Seager looked overmatched. And when you look at the final stats, and really if you look at the first four of the Houston-Tampa Bay series, the numbers would tell you there's an obvious better team. And it wasn't obvious. I mean, there wasn't much separation because obviously it's 3-1 in the eighth. But Dave Roberts is going to hear a lot about this. And really so, because he messed up. And the Dodgers all year long, and I've talked about it. I've talked about it in the back end because I told you about a year ago, Kershaw is not the same Kershaw.
Yes, that's
stuff
true.
Stuff is not the same.
Yep.
It's not 97, it's 91. He was 89, 91, depending on the two-seamer or four-seamer last night. But they're stuck in this mode of lionizing heroes and guys that have built their organization and that were once great. It's the Bob Dunn version of wanting to draft Joey Votto this year in the fantasy draft.
When you will not let Bob Dunn off the hook.
I will. It 20 years.
Okay. All right.
20 years.
Fair enough.
And you get caught up in that. And he came in. He got eaten to get out of the seventh. At that point, with Maeda, Kolarik, who has been is essentially just there. They brought him in to get lefties out. And in this case, Juan Soto. But you got Rendon, then Soto, your two toughest guys. And, you know, the pitch to Rendon wasn't even a bad pitch. It just goes to show you that when you go from really good stuff, those guys, their eyes were lighting up. I'm sure they couldn't believe that Kershaw's coming out for that inning. And it's a slider low, but Rendon is a professional hitter. And I told you to start this playoffs off, I thought he was the most underrated player in baseball and has been for a couple years. And he got the bat head down, pop. Gets that out. Baseball helps out, especially with the marine layer. That probably equalizes, actually, in this situation. And then Soto, a no-doubter, a slider that didn't slide.
Dude.
It just stayed fat, and it's at whatever that was.
450 on the distance.
And Soto just pops it, and all the momentum all of a sudden is turned around. I mean, you should have gone Maeda. If he gets him out, maybe stay with him. If he doesn't, you bring in Kolarik, Joe Kelly has been your best reliever the last 3 months. The other guy I talked about with Kershaw that they're still lionizing and thinking that it's 4 years ago is Kenley Jansen. And they should have done something. They should have made that move in June. And we talked about
yes,
that.
You
that
did.
That,
yeah.
that it's just it, that they kind of got put in this situation and we're hoping to get through it and not bruise egos. But instead, you don't think Jansen's ego is still bruised and you lose? He comes in for mop-up?
Right, yeah, by the time they brought him in, it didn't matter.
And they shouldn't have brought him in. It's not about him. It's about the fact that Kershaw's still out there and the stuff is just not really good right now. I would have kept him if you get into a 12-13 inning game and you lose. It is what it is. But he messed up a lot of situations last night.
So going back to the beginning of it for Kershaw, you understand having Kershaw out there in the seventh.
Yeah, yeah.
You understood that.
Yeah, because you're going to mix and match, and you don't want to burn even Kolarik there, so you get eaten out with Kershaw, and he had three pitches, and then you come back with Maeda, hope that Maeda just runs through the eighth. If he gets Rendon out, then it's a real decision. Do you bring in Kolarik and try and get Soto out?
Right.
But Soto hit 285 against lefties this year. This guy's just a 20-year-old professional hitter. The only time he showed he's 20 is whenever he got into the dugout. I love that. The dance.
Oh, God, he's great.
Because Rendon's kind of an older guy. Zimmerman, oh, yeah, I'll give you. I know you guys want to do this. And he was like, no, legally I can't get into a club right now. Yeah. I'm going to let it go.
We're going discotheque here.
Yeah, he had a lot of fun. But, yeah, I mean, they messed up that situation, and this is going to burn. I know this burns for Dodgers fans because you guys had a hell of a year.
We have watched it so many times. You're watching baseball over the years. It's either you're making too many moves, you're making not enough moves. If you told me that at the end of that game, the Dodgers would be out of the playoffs with 106 regular season wins, and I would have heard fans in the ballpark chanting, "Fire Roberts," I would have said you were crazy. There was a guy that the field mic actually picked up a couple times with a "Fire Roberts" at 7-3 after Kendrick has hit the home run, after he's hit the grand slam to make it 7-3. So, yeah, I mean, it's amazing how those things can fall apart. And also, you tell me if I'm
wrong
here.
But their bullpen was going to have issues all year. I've talked about flaws in all the great teams.
Yeah.
And with the Yankees, it was starting pitching. And with the Astros and Dodgers, it was about the back end. I mean, how much do you trust Ryan Pratt? If Will Harris, with his 90-mile-per-hour cutter, is your best reliever right now, and I heard BK and Trey talking about it, yeah, I'd have some questions about Asuna right now. And Presley's not the same guy. The Dodgers, though, at least the Astros at times this year had a really good back end. The Dodgers have had questions all year long about that.
Maybe that is the ultimate bigger question for the Dodgers. Are you upset at them for going with what's left of Kershaw, or are you upset with them for feeling like that was their best option? For setting it up to where Roberts...
Both.
You know?
Both.
It's kind of both.
They should have been in a better situation with more arms where it wasn't even a decision, and he should have pulled them after that. I mean, at least after the Rendon one. I mean, that, if anything, that lets you know. I know Rendon's a great hitter, and we've talked about that, but
then bring your guy
in. If you miss with the ball
Soto,
and he hits it out, stuff ain't there.
Right, yeah. And also, if you miss the miles per hour on those two pitches, both the Rendon home
89-91.
Run and the Soto home run were 89 miles an hour.
Okay.
Both pitches. That left the park.
And the slider just did not have much movement.
No, it
did. And Joe Kelly had a problem with that. I mean, that was really a two-seamer that he was trying to bust in on Howie Kendrick. And Kendrick is another professional hitter. I mean, an elite professional hitter. Technically, mechanically, all that stuff. And he pulls his hands in and gets that thing out. That's Joe Kelly started off, was awful this year. And then started to get the Joe Kelly back. There are questions about how good he is in big-time spots, and those questions followed Kershaw. I'll say this about Kendrick. The baseball god smiled because of the errors. I thought he was such a pro and was the way he handled the couple errors he had in that one game. You know, he kind of got rewarded for that a little bit. And then Kershaw, man, Kershaw, you say what you want about him in the playoffs, man. He's a good teammate, and he was trying to own that.
He ate it. He didn't throw his manager under the bus. That was pro stuff. You're absolutely right. So the Cardinals win a huge, just a blowout game over the Braves to get in the NLCS. The Nats win that game last night. And by the way, if you care, Vegas says it's Washington as the favorite over the Cardinals in the NLCS.
They're cockroaches. I told you that, Chad.
Yep.
Don't count them out.
Plenty of baseball to get to. Obviously, if you're an Astros fan, we want to hear from you today.
I don't need to tell you that.
Tell me that the Cardinals will stick around.
We've both been hit by the cockroach.
Yes, but I appreciate you mentioning that. What I don't appreciate is things Herm says on Twitter today, throwing out his little joke with the robot bat thing, hitting the balls.
Oh, that was pretty funny. I needed that today.
This is the Cardinals off of Fulton Evans. I didn't need that.
Thank you.
Too soon. too soon. I did not That's need that stuff. At all. Before we get to a couple other things, let me tell you where we are today, folks. If you are up in that Round Rock Hutto area, we are at the HEB on 79, right here at 79 and A.W. Grimes, 1700 East Palm Valley Road is the official address with your chance to win Texas-Kansas tickets. So the next home game, once again, Chrissy is out here from Coors Light. She's sampling the lovely blood and honey from Revolver, one of the beers that Miller Coors distributes from this area. It is a fantastic beer. If you haven't tried it, come on by and do that. Also, grab yourself some Coors Light and get signed up for those Silver Bullet seats for the Kansas game.
They should do a Blood and Honey song like the Black and Yellow. Blood and Honey, Blood and Honey, Blood and Honey.
They should.
Trey, you want to cue that?
Whatever gets people, whatever gets Sam today.
Oh, Sam that's right.
Trey had to work extra today.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Extra radio for him.
They did a good job. I heard the opening bit they did today, the bit and process they did on the other show, the Trey and BK show, the normal hours that they're on.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear that?
I did not.
Trey getting on BK for Yom Kippur and the fact that, you know, it's about atonement, and I guess it was too general, the apology.
So
Trey wanted a more specific. What have you done to me the last year? Let's get into stuff. And
he really wanted him to
atone. Don't just give me a blanket. You know, I'm sorry. I'll try and be better.
And Brad said, "Hey, that
but
was."
Brad sounded really genuine. I was wondering if he was sick. Maybe it was a fasting.
Could have been a good bit.
He's all for a good bit. Yeah, he is for
He's
a good
all
bit.
For a good bit.
He sold it well
and a nice process. So I'm sure that's what it was.
Like Tessitore.
Definitely.
On a third and three.
Yes, exactly. Hey, Boog. So thanks to Brad and Trey for filling in for Rod today. Always appreciate that extra work. This is a crazy week getting ready for Texas OU and a lot of things going on. So we do we'll keep you up to date on kind of where everybody's going to be, but we got a few folks running around a little crazy today.
Money line plus 300, still 10.5. Jump on Texas.
Like the Longhorns there?
With this game, with this matchup, yeah. With the points, absolutely.
The Oklahoma Sooners, not to go like Chris Raybon, Brandon Lang on you, which, by the way, we're taking a week off of those guys tomorrow because of our roundtable, but those guys might tell you that the last six games in this series, Oklahoma has not covered, and they've lost three times outright.
I nailed my dime piece 11 times last night in 28 minutes.
Now I feel like.
You do the math.
Yes.
I'm 500. 2-1 the last 12 hours.
That's fantastic. All right, before we go any further, I'll tell you what else is fantastic, and that is Total Men's Primary Care, making sure, guys, that you are healthy, that you are going to the doctor. We do not do that as men normally. We procrastinate. We're stubborn. We don't want to go to the doctor. Sometimes we ignore certain things, certain pains and things like that. Let's stop doing that. Get yourself to Total Men's. They've got 20 centers now open for you. The 20th one is open in New Braunfels, right near the HEB Plus on I-35. We're going down there in November to christen that bad boy with a grand opening show. So go check that one out, or wherever you are in the area, go to totalmens.com. They've got one that is close to you. If you've tried therapy for low T and it didn't work at some other places, come see why they have the highest online rating of any healthcare group in the Austin area. Again, it's totalmens.com, Total Men's Primary Care, the doctor's office just for men.
How are you doing? Because at least the later game was a game. I mean, a lot of drama.
That helped. That definitely helped. As I told you yesterday, I am not a fan of any of the three monsters. I don't actively root for any of them. So just the baseball fan in me wants one of those three, you know, get them out if you, you know, whenever you can. So I was glad the Dodgers lost. And just watching that.
And as a Rangers fan, any order there too, right?
Yeah, right.
But you do hate the Yankees.
Exactly. Definitely hate the Yankees. Definitely do not want the Yankees.
So Yankees-Astros is perfect for me
and
the world and the country and baseball in general, but.
Yeah, it's torturous for me. Like, my wife gets on me every day about, really? You're going to root for the – no, you're not going to root for the Yankees again. Come on. Why? You know, I don't know. I just don't know. It's going to have to – the series will have to start.
Right.
Maybe I won't have to think about that, but we'll see. But, yeah, that was a crazy game last night. It was – I mean, yesterday was tough, but I've told you from the moment Nelson Cruz – I'll do it so you don't have to – from the moment Nelson Cruz went back and missed a fly ball to now, my absolute full heart has never been behind a baseball team. And I had the heart broken a few times, had the soul stepped on. That one got into my soul in a way.
It's equivalent of you're in a relationship that was that bad. She cheated on you.
Right.
And
you can't trust again.
Put it on
right?
Facebook and people will work and all that. And,
exactly.
And so you're just not going to be in a relationship for a couple decades.
Yeah, can't go full trust there.
Well, that's healthy.
But yesterday is one of those that I don't know honestly what hurts more. Yesterday, in a way, didn't hurt as much because I had plenty of time to process it. 10 runs in the first, you get totally blown out. I guess I would rather have that than a 2-1. You know, if it's got to go one way or the other, I guess the blowout was better, but it sucked. I mean, it sucked. I thought about it all night, and it's just another reminder, and it's why Patrick, our onsite engineer, and thanks to Patrick and Sean from our crew for setting us up today. Patrick's a big Astros fan. I said, "Are you a little nervous today?" And he looked at me and he said, "No, I'm not a little nervous today. I'm really nervous today." And
I forgot he's an Astros fan. I'm so glad to hear that because I was coming here and I was like, oh, I think we're going to have Patrick and Sean, who I love. But I was like, oh, Joe and Derek are going to, because they're going to be in Dallas getting ready for the softball game.
Correct.
And I really enjoyed watching Joe in game 4. I was like you and Trey. I mean, I got a kick out of it.
Yeah, no, he was way into it. And I know Patrick will
be. So beautiful,
be as well.
Patrick. I appreciate it.
But yesterday gave you two different examples of how it can go, how baseball can reach inside your chest and rip out your still beating heart the way it did for the Braves and the Dodgers. An early lead would be good, obviously, tonight for the Astros. You've talked about...
No, say that again and say it louder.
Yeah, an early lead tonight would be really, really important for the Astros.
And not just because of math.
That's where I'm going.
You're up 3 runs. Psychologically, they need that. The momentum has turned. Tampa Bay is playing with house money. We've said it the whole time. And they've got confidence now. And they've got a better bullpen. So Garrett Cole needs to give them innings. And Chad, one more time. We'll go for the hat trick here. Say it again.
Yes. And early
lead
for the Astros could be critical. And one of the main reasons, too, you mentioned the psychology of this series. But the psychology of this fan base overall, too. Let's think about it. Yes, the World Series is there, but you always talk about it, Kevin. The Cubs in Wrigley Field sometimes, back when my Aggies at times at Olsen Field, the fans get a little weird. It's that murmuring, tightening up. The Astros have some really bad memories in the playoffs.
Yep.
Obviously, they've got some great ones. That 2017 run was incredible. Can they get that vibe in the building instead of the Pujols vibe in the building, instead of the, you know, way back in the day, this series
just
in the 80s
just
got
say
them.
It. Just say it.
You know, go ahead. Not that it's one particular thing. But
Bartman.
Pujols is, yeah. Well, you're right. I wasn't going to mention that for them. I wasn't going to torture
Alex
you like
Gonzalez
that.
Alex Gonzalez.
But, yeah.
Through the wickets.
So, we'll see what it's like. Ultimately, what you expect here is that what you're hoping is that A.J. Hinch doesn't have to make any big, huge choices. It's just Garrett Cole being Garrett Cole, and he's absolutely, you know, been mowing guys down. But we'll see what it looks like tonight. 6 o'clock start for Astros and Rays.
He went 7 2/3 the first time around, and he's in a great spot right now. And I think Garrett Cole is going to go be Garrett Cole. He had two of these games that were clinchers or deciders at Pittsburgh, I believe, and lost both. But this is a different Garrett Cole. I mean, you guys have the advantage, but I just cannot reiterate enough how you started that, how important that is tonight.
Obviously, a lot of football on the board, too. Kevin just mentioned the line on the Texas game. When we get to beat the Pluck at 5:30, Kevin and Dave are going to pick that game with an 11-point line for Oklahoma. Oklahoma by 11. I totally agree with you. No matter what your final score is, I would absolutely pick Texas to cover that.
And we know Dave's philosophy, so go ahead and put both of us down for Texas.
I would think so, right? Yeah. He loves the Tom Herman as an underdog vibe. We'll do that at 5:30. Also, we've got our pick'em, the regular pick'em contest. We're just picking winners. John McClellan, Supreme Lending, thanks to them. Thanks to Waters International Realty as well for this pick'em contest. We went 2-3 last week, so got to have a little bounce back.
Well, if I'm 4-0 and beat the Pluck, what are you doing wrong in this with our team?
I don't know. I mean, I'm writing down what you're telling me to write down. That's all I know.
You're going to play that game, huh?
Well, you're the smart one. You're going 4-0.
Yeah.
You just said it.
Wow. Well,
so, you know.
Yeah, you just trapped me.
All right. Penn State at Iowa is one of the games they want us to pick this
week. Penn State.
I feel like that as well. I agree. Florida at LSU. I just finished watching the Florida-Auburn game. It was a holy mess of a turnover kind of game.
Yeah.
But Florida got through it. Trask did come back in the game. I like some of the things they're doing.
Did you see the injury?
Yeah, it did look bad. It looked really bad.
After that, did you think he was going to be, one, walk off, but two, come back in and play?
Couldn't believe it. As I'm watching it, I'm like, wait, Kevin said he came back in the game off of that? I'm leaning LSU here. I think LSU is going to show that, unlike Auburn, they will throw the ball down the field. Gus Malzahn, I think, lost a lot of faith in Bo Nix during that game, and everything tightened up. I think LSU and Brady and that offense and letting Joe Burrow roll, I like the Tigers.
Well, Dave's probably home now because he was able to leave Atlanta earlier than he probably thought. He may have gotten an earlier flight.
Yeah.
So I want to be careful about how I talk about this too much. But, yes, straight up, we'll take the Tigers.
Straight up Tigers. Gotcha. Okay. Okay. Straight up on the Tigers.
But watch out on that. LSU hasn't played anyone in a month. And I kind of wonder if they've gotten better during that time or if they've just taken some time off.
Okay. All right, we'll see. I feel like they're still rolling. I feel like I don't see them in any difficulty.
We don't know because they had a bye week and they've played nobody.
And then Utah State. But what I'm saying is they are smacking down those teams.
They are.
Right? They beat Utah State.
But there's some other things in there that they're not as happy about, and they've talked about that a little bit. And those are kind of been, not that it doesn't count, but third quarter, fourth quarter, I think teams are diminished and worn out. That they're beaten. But after Texas, Northwestern State at Vanderbilt by Utah State.
Yeah, no,
those are the 4 weeks.
Yeah.
That's the month since Texas.
You're right. It's a great point. Here's the other big question. Is this going to be the best defense LSU's faced? Because that Florida defense looked pretty
good. Absolutely.
They're looking pretty good.
The way Texas played, yeah.
They're looking pretty good. Florida got all of the theme of that game of Auburn and Florida is the offensive lines could not hold up. That was the theme of that whole ball game.
Yeah.
Auburn and Florida, the defensive linemen were in the backfield all day long.
And I saw the Florida safeties make some pretty good plays where they weren't getting caught up in the whole Gus Malzahn, hey, here's the magic, look at this hand, don't look at this hand.
Mm-hmm.
And where they even tried a fake bubble screen wheel out of that where the guy comes up to block and then wheels out of it.
Yep.
And the safety didn't buy it and ended up picking it off. It's like, nah, I'm not buying that, Bo.
Yeah, I'm really interested to check that game out. That's a night game with Florida and LSU. Also, we'll pick three NFL games coming up in the Straight Up Pick'em contest. We'll get you a little more of that. Also, in the Big Three, we get you ready for Astros and Rays tonight.
Ooh.
Texas and Oklahoma coming up, of course, on Saturday. And remember, it's HEB on 79 up here at East Palm Valley Road. Come by and get registered for the Coors Light Silver Bullet seats for the Kansas game.
It's not just the bullpen for Tampa. Nick Anderson, Pagan, Castillo, I think Alvarado's around there. I mean, Poche, they've got plenty of arms there. But it's also the fact that CFM will probably be available.
Yep.
And boy, it's going to twist the knife even more if you end up losing this series because Morton beat you in game three with the guy who essentially replaced him and you had to go out and go get. And then also if he comes in this game, Snell will be available probably too. And
yeah,
Pagan's a B if he's coming in closing or in high leverage situations.
We've also got our three Thursday guests coming. Dustin McComas at 4:05 talking baseball and football. Brian Jones from CBS Sports at 5:00. And J.D. Lewis to try to help you with fantasy football at 6:05. More coming on the Horn. Very nice beat to get us started on a Thursday. Sam Pika is producing for us today. What do you got, Sam?
This is More Bounce to the Ounce by Zap and Roger.
Very nice. More Bounce to the Ounce. Fantastic. All right, we're having another show out here at HEB. We've also got, remember, there's a chance for you. Speaking of HEB, HEB Center out in Cedar Park. It's going to have October 23rd, where Live and Bush and Our Lady Peace are all going to be playing. You can check that out. Get more information and register for your chance to win. Yes, sir.
Like glycerin.
Uh-huh. That's hornfm.com. You need to head over there.
I like that song.
Check out some ticket possibilities there, Kevin Dunn.
Yes, sir.
All right. Let's get you a Big Three. We'll get you set up for baseball and also pick these NFL games.
The Big Three. The Big Three brought to you by ChristopherWaters.com. Call Chris Waters today at 512-649-4000 to get your home sold guaranteed.
And thanks to Chris Waters for being a part of our Pick'em contest, along with John McClellan and Supreme Lending. We'll do those NFL picks here in a second. Baseball-wise, last night the craziness continued with the Dodgers' exit. 7-3 in 10 innings. The grand slam from Howie Kendrick ended it, but all the drama with Clayton Kershaw and Dave Roberts leaving him in is what started it. We've already talked about some of that. We'll continue to do it. Astros fans, tonight is when you grab a hold of something tight and don't let go. Garrett Cole is the guy. 6:07 on the first pitch. Tyler Glasnow is the opposing pitcher. Kevin's already talked about those other guys Tampa Bay could turn to. Obviously, Houston's going to have Johnny Allstaff outside of Verlander ready to go. This is you got to figure out any way to get it done. Get those 27 outs.
Yeah, and getting started early. You talked about that. You're exactly right. And get this, you know, get that place loose. Get the team loose. And they've got veteran experience, but also getting George Springer going.
Yep.
He had his first two hits in the playoffs in Game 4. Get Brantley rolling a little bit, and hopefully Garrett Cole can just kind of relax and settle down. But getting back to Glasnow, you know, we talked about the high velocity. You know, he and Snell haven't been back that long, and they're still kind of figuring stuff out. And he really was only throwing effectively his 99, take it for what it is, 100-mile-per-hour fastball, and a changeup with it. But everything was straight. I'd be sitting straight. I'd be sitting fastball. And if you get to that count, to a two-strike count, hopefully because it's still straight, be able to get your timing enough to at least get a bat on the ball if he does fool you with the changeup, or you can sit on that. But I definitely advantage Astros, not psychologically, but if you look at the matchup. Glasnow, now if he's got his breaking ball, watch out to go with that.
Definitely would be a good day for a Springer dinger to get everybody calmed down.
Oh, man, that would
lead-off
be
pop.
Just what the doctor ordered. Get that place rocking early.
No doubt. That's on FS1 tonight on TV if you're going to be checking it out. I know a lot of you are. NLCS Game 1 is tomorrow with Washington at St. Louis. NFL-wise, you got the Cowboys getting ready, of course, for the Jets. They're not making us pick that game this week with John McClellan, Supreme Lending. I wish they would. We could use a freebie.
I did see him talk about how great Daniel Jones is. You know, no one can really applaud someone and make you feel like you really think a lot of them than Bill Belichick.
Yeah, that's tonight's game, Giants and Patriots, Fox and NFL Network. Daniel Jones, the lucky guy, getting to face the Patriots defense. They're not having us pick that one either, amazingly. New Orleans at Jacksonville, though, they are making us pick. Saints go outside. It's still Teddy Bridgewater.
He looked a lot better.
And Minshew, who do you trust in that game?
Well, we talked about it. It was Teddy game manager the first couple games, and you could even say against y'all. But they kind of opened it up a little bit. He's getting more comfortable. This guy is a starting quarterback in a league that doesn't have enough starting quarterbacks.
Uh-huh.
And I thought I still had trust in him. I thought it would maybe take a little time, but depending on the defense who they're playing. But he looked last week a lot more like Teddy. Hey, we're going to open this up a little bit. I am a quarterback, not just check down Charlie.
And this Jacksonville defense is pretty damn good. Calais Campbell in the group.
Yep.
You still like the Saints on the road?
Oh, man. Ramsey apparently had a meeting with the owner.
Okay.
They had a heart-to-heart.
Ooh, okay.
And some of that is still physical, but obviously I think some of it, too, is emotional or mental, probably more emotional. What are you thinking? You're the one that's buried us and put us in this position.
I have. I am the one. Oh, man. I want to trust the Saints, but I don't know. Something tells me there's going down there, that defense. I don't know. Something tells me to go with the home team on this. What's the line on that game? I'm guessing Jacksonville's slightly favored because they're the home team, and Minshew's been playing pretty well.
I miss it.
Where are they there? I think they're playing this week.
There it is. Jacksonville by one.
Yeah, it's essentially a pick 'em game. So, I mean, I don't know.
I say we go Saints.
Go Saints?
Yeah.
All right. I can do that. I can go either way on that game. Houston at Kansas City. Got to go Kansas City at home, right?
Bouncing back. Kansas City.
Yeah.
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
Now let's test your fandom / sports knowledge because they're going to run right together here. I know you love your Niners, but your Niners are at the Rams. Rams coming off of obviously a game where they don't, or a couple games actually, where they still haven't looked like that team from last year. Your Niners looking good at 4-0. What do you think?
Both coaches are good buddies. They know each other.
Uh-huh.
Both get a lot of people hired.
Yes.
And they've got different schemes. We kind of talked about that yesterday. I think Shanahan would be more, if you compared him to a guy, it would be like Lincoln Riley. You know, Rams are favored by 3, and McGlinchey is out, by the way. So McGlinchey and Joe Staley are out.
Ooh,
at
okay.
tackle
That's
against
tough.
That defensive line. I think we go Rams here. I like my Niners, but let's bring in Rod for the Longhorn Insider because he's
picking these games better than anybody.
Well, he's best friends with both of them. He's part of the crew.
That's
I don't
true.
Know, I mean, if Rod wanted one, he could have an NFL head coaching job
he
right now.
He probably could. Rod Babers, Longhorn Insider. Rod is on his way up to Dallas for the softball game. Rod, we know you know Kyle Shanahan. Have you ever shaken Sean McVay's hand? You ever met him?
I've not, actually. I know they vacation together and everything like that, so I figured one of these days when I remember to go on vacation again with the Shanahan family that I'll get some of that Sean McVay magical rub off on me, and then I'll have to say goodbye to you guys because I'll probably be getting some type of head coaching job or PC job.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Darn right.
Rod, if I don't get a sneaky pic of Veronica in a bikini on that trip, you know, our friendship's going to be put to a test, my man.
No, I'm definitely going to get one of those. I'm trying not to look creepy while I'm doing it, but I'll definitely get a pic for you, brother, for sure.
Hey, creep out all you want. Hey, just to show the tightness you can get with games like Texas OU and what both these programs mean, don't you, Shanahan Sims, and like a couple other guys like that were the crew that was really tight, don't you guys have tattoos for each other?
We do. We have the wood tattoos. Everybody's got a W to symbolize the wood, their own type of W, and it's where everybody has it on like their a calf, their right or left calf, but Shano's is really small. Shano did it like a female tattoo on his ankle. It's really, I told him, I said, man, you'd have been better off just getting it on your calf, but now he's got to explain to people why he's got the little ankle tat basically for him instead of the calf tat. But everybody's representing, man. We got it so that we always know we were brothers no matter what went down. Those guys are my blood, man. I love those guys. I'm happy for Shano, man. He was miserable for a while, man. After that Super Bowl, man, and he gave up the 28-3 lead, I probably saw him hit about as dark a place as I've seen him. I mean, he was really, really down after that. He recovered, obviously, and even last year hit him pretty hard when Jimmy Garoppolo was down. I mean, I know that he had a miserable season because when Jimmy went down, he knew he didn't have a chance, but still, you know, the competitor in there, you don't want to get beat by anybody. So I think this year is kind of his vengeance. This is his vengeance tour after Jimmy Garoppolo going down in the 28-3. I think he's out to let the rest of the NFL know that he's still one of the top-notch offensive minds, if not the top-notch offensive mind.
Yeah, no doubt. And again, Rod Babers headed up tonight for the softball game up there in Frisco. You can go to hornfm.com, find out more info on that. Rod, Aaron, and Eric Raines are going to be broadcasting with hook'em.com, with our association with the Statesman. Check out hook'em.com for all the game action. I think 5:30, the public is they start letting folks in, and 7 o'clock is when it starts, Rod. Is that right?
It starts off at 7. They let the public in at 5:30. And then I think they have a media availability, maybe a press conference to introduce all the celebrities around 6 o'clock. So yeah, it's supposed to be really fun, man. I wish I could have come to it early. I think it's the third one they've done. Last year it blew up though when Matthew McConaughey was in the lineup playing shortstop, and Mac Brown was unemployed, so he was out there. But I hear that no Matthew McConaughey this year. Mac Brown, of course, he's doing big things at North Carolina, but I still hear it's going to be a really, really star-studded affair. Vince Young and somebody told me Ricky is probably going to show up because apparently Ricky Williams just randomly loves to look for random softball games and flag football games to show up to.
That's
great if Ricky shows up. Yeah, I do. I love that. I love that Ricky has played flag football with kids in the street. I meet people like, oh yeah, Ricky came out and played some flag football with our kids, man. I was like, oh, was he nice? He's like, no, man, he killed those kids. He annihilated those kids. He did not have any type of he was not trying to make sure he was worried about their ego or anything like that. He just made them look bad. But yeah, I mean, ego. He's a competitor. Ricky's a competitor, man. No question.
Oh, imagine that. Not everyone gets a trophy there.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah, being able to do that. Rod, you know, I mean, we've talked about kind of every matchup in this game, and I think maybe it's tough for Texas fans because you think about the defense, 126th, and the pass defense and all that stuff that has just not been good, and OU's been great. But it does seem like Texas has a lot of advantages on some unit matchups and individual matchups. Are we underselling Texas? Where's your gut right now about how this thing's going to go?
No, I don't think we are underselling Texas. I think both programs have some serious liabilities within certain units, right? We talked about the offensive line for Oklahoma, and if they don't have those two tackles, it could be a long, long day for them going up against, you know, Malcolm Roach on that front. And if they start adding Joseph Asai more to that front up there, and the way Keandre Coburn's playing, so I think Texas could have an advantage there. But on the flip side, Texas corners up against CeeDee Lamb and Rambo and Calcaterra, I don't feel that great about that matchup, all right? And I think Sooners fans that I've talked to are saying, oh, man, they're licking their chops, thinking about the way that the LSU wide receiving core lit up those Texas DBs before we had all the injuries back there in the back end. So I think on that matchup, I think offensively for Texas, we don't know who is going to be, what running back is going to show up. We're going to get Rashawn Johnson from versus West Virginia, and we love what he's done, but that's a freshman who's changing positions from quarterback to running back in an atmosphere like Texas OU. I don't know if he's going to get overwhelmed. I have no idea. I don't think so, but I don't know. What Keontae Ingram are we going to get? We don't know. Oklahoma State Keontae Ingram or West Virginia Keontae Ingram. So, you know, I don't really think we have a consistent player in the running game that can be the juice for the running game. And on the side for Oklahoma on their defense, you know, I think those DBs, which Texas took advantage of last year in the Big 12 title game and in the original matchup between Texas and OU, Colin Johnson is back. All right, Mr. 50-50. The guy, if you target him 50% of the time, it's a first down or a touchdown. So they still going to have a little bit of shock from that. And then now they got to deal with Devin Duvernay in the slot as opposed to Lil Jordan Humphrey. Last year they couldn't cover Texas' two main options in the passing game, and I don't think they're going to be able to do it again this year. So how does Alex Grinch, Todd Orlando, Tom Herman, Lincoln Riley, how do they all scheme around those liabilities within those different units? How do they scheme around those disadvantages? And that's why those guys make the big bucks.
Rod, we'll get to talk to you tomorrow plenty about the actual pick, but as we're looking at this line, Oklahoma by 11, we're both saying pick Texas to cover this. Do you see Texas covering this game, or do you see a scenario where, yeah, Oklahoma could win it and maybe win it by two touchdowns?
Yeah, one thing I will admit I am stressed out about, Vegas knows something we don't know.
I know.
It's, right? It's pretty obvious that Vegas is seeing something that we aren't seeing, you know, and it's bothering me because usually, you know, guys, I'm all into, you know, I'm doing the research, I'm doing the deep dives, hell, I'm listening to all the analytics. I can't figure out what Vegas – Vegas knows something. They start the line at 10.5, and I thought, man, they would have had this line at 6, maybe 6.5, but they had that 10.5. So now I'm wondering exactly, you know, what Vegas knows that we don't know because the games have been tight. OU hasn't covered in, what, since 2013? They haven't covered even when they've been a double-digit spread or a single-digit spread. I don't know, but Vegas knows something, guys. They build those casinos for a reason. I know those guys are smart. Every time I think they're way off, turns out they almost hit it on the money. So Vegas and a lot of the public, they think OU is that much better than Texas. I don't think so. Tom Herman is an underdog. We know his record. And I think these games have been close under Tom Herman and with Sam Ellinger at the helm. There's no in my mind that OU is going to beat Texas by double digits. So I don't usually give betting advice, but I think that's easy money, man, taking Texas and them points. I think that's easy bread. Yeah.
We couldn't tell you Sam had mono all week.
Because Rod is saying it where he says Vegas knows something we don't, but he just followed it up with they've been wrong 6 years in a row. Mm-hmm. Like 6 years in a row, they have missed something about this game, and I wonder if they are missing it again by going this strong and going to 11. Are they falling for the schedule Oklahoma has played? Are they falling for the flashiness of this offense and not thinking about what happens when these two teams actually get together?
Of every rivalry I followed, Florida State, Miami, Florida State, Florida, Notre Dame, USC, Notre Dame in the million they have, Michigan, Ohio State, just a college football nerd. And I know I've got a different connection to this one. This one's the toughest to project. And Rod knows it better than we do. There's something about what goes on in there that doesn't always add up to football sense.
Yeah, that's a good way to say it. Rod Babers, weekdays 1-3 with the Rodcast. He's headed up to Dallas. We're going to check in with him one more time. Now, how we doing, Rod? How's the trip going so far? Are you progressing well?
I'm in Dallas.
Crazy traffic?
Yeah,
what's
I'm
going
in.
On?
I'm seeing Dallas signs right now, so I'm in Dallas on the outskirts. I think I got to go through Dallas, though, to get to Frisco. So I should be there in, like, I don't know, 30 minutes. I should be at least at the hotel, and I think the The actual venue is 5 minutes from the hotel. There's a Dr. Pepper ballpark, I believe. So I'm doing good. I didn't meet any. I didn't have any road rage or any Sooners giving me the middle finger while I was driving up. So I feel good.
Nice.
Well, an event can actually happen 5 minutes from your hotel in Dallas, Chad? I didn't know that was possible.
Yeah, it's tough. That's tough. You got to find the right hotel.
Okay.
You just got to find the right hotel. Rod, we appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you next hour.
All right, fellas.
Rod Babers driving up to Dallas for that softball game. He's going to tell you a little bit about 7-Eleven coming up here. Also coming up, we'll get into the crab bag. I got a special hat game for you this week, a Texas OU edition of the hat game. We'll talk about that. Got a couple birthdays to hit as well. Then it's Dustin McComas of Orange Bloods at 4:05 to keep talking Texas OU, and he'll be breaking down the game for you tonight, Astros fans. Dustin's a huge baseball fan. He'll let you know if he thinks Gerrit Cole and the Astros are getting it done in Game 5. That's all coming up. We're at HEB here on 79 on East Palm Valley Road. Come on out and get signed up for the Coors Light Silver Bullet seats for the Kansas game, the next home game for the Longhorns. More coming up on the Horn.
Chad's Crap Bag.
Crap Bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just think of a bag of crap.
All right, crap bag for you on a Thursday. If you're new to the show, crap bag is just whatever's rolling around in my head. And on Thursdays, I've come up with a way to make myself feel better in some way that I'm a full-grown adult that really likes football mini helmets. And I like to, you know, just orient them in the house and set them up, and the matchups are coming up and everything. But then I thought, wait a minute, we'll take the old-school idea, which we'll let you hear in a minute, where Kevin and I, when we were raised by sports fans, we were raised where you'd watch a game and your dad would tell you who the guy played for. So our whole lives have been about old school. You see, my dad saw Drew Pearson on the field. He's like, hey, Chad, he played at Tulsa. Do you know he played at Tulsa? And you just remember that he played at Tulsa. So the hat game is just an extension of that. And today, it is a Texas OU edition. By the way, if you're an OU fan and you think maybe that your helmet is not properly represented, well, it's because I don't have the big mini helmet of Oklahoma. Why the hell would I buy that? I do have a Texas one, though. And so what we've done is, this week, it's three players from Texas, three players from Oklahoma for a Texas OU edition.
Oh, okay. I see what you're doing
of the hat game. So,
I'm not very bright. It took me a little while to look at the new configuration and go, how does this game work here?
So when you go hornfm.com, the Chad and Kevin page, go to hat game, and on the left side, you got the Longhorn on the top, and then three rows, so three players that played at Texas, and then those pro teams, same thing on the right side with the Sooner players. So go check it out and see if you can think of the, or figure out the six players that I'm thinking of. Is there any of those that are jumping out to you there, Kevin?
Is one of them my favorite first player, football player in Texas football history?
Your favorite my history? First player?
Would have been 6 years old and got his jersey at Rooster Andrews.
Ooh, you're thinking Jerry Gray?
I'm thinking Jerry Gray.
Not Jerry Gray.
Because Jerry played with Houston after that. You're right.
Yeah. Not Jerry
in fact,
Gray.
He was.
I
believe he was on the field for that one Houston game. That.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, I think he was. I think he might have been.
Sorry, Patrick.
Yeah, there is.
He'll start early. You better hope you get off to a good start.
A Longhorn that played for the Rams is in there. A Longhorn that played for Tennessee and Cincinnati is in there. And a Longhorn that played for the Cowboys and the Jacksonville Jaguars is still in there. And let's see. Among the players, there are one of the six. There's two guys that are current NFL players.
Brains are funny. I'm a visual learner.
Maybe three are current players.
I'm a visual learner. You probably get that if you listen to the show. And I'm pretty good at the old school stuff. But this is – there's something about it. Like, it doesn't – it always takes me a little while. Now, and I don't get on Twitter anymore with it because there are some nuts, and I mean that as a complete compliment, that right away
– oh, they're guessing it fast.
Oh, man. I know who that is.
Yeah, they're doing a good job guessing them. So check that out at hornfm.com. As far as the birthdays go today, we must mention this one today, Kevin, because it's a nice round number. The one and only Brett Favre turns 50 today. The big 5-0 for Favre. Interesting, he's celebrating his birthday. He doesn't want anybody to get him anything. He's going to send everybody a gift. And it's actually in my inbox. I'm about to check it and see what it is. He said he has a big present for me. I'm really excited.
How many gigabytes?
Yeah, right. It's a few. It's a few. More than I expected. Yeah.
And I feel bad for those people because, like Anthony Weiner is a good example. That's a problem at that point. You can't control yourself.
Yeah, you got an issue.
That's an addiction. I'm not sure how volitional it is. Like that's a serious problem.
I have never.
You and I have not, you know.
No.
And we're packing.
I have no, obviously. I have never in my life felt like sending a picture like that to anyone, so I don't know.
I'll receive those pictures. Well, not that one, but you know what I'm saying.
I've never received pictures like that. Because I didn't, once, like my wife and I met in 90.
Can I plead the fifth?
And you can.
Well, I can't get in trouble for receiving it, right?
No, you can't get in trouble for that part. My wife and I met in 99 before a lot of technological advancements, so I was not dating during the time that people might take naked pictures of themselves and send it to the person they're dating and go, hey, check it out.
Here you go. What do you think? What do you like the goods?
Like by that time, you know, if I was going to see the goods, I was going to see the goods. I didn't need a phone. That's how we were doing it back in the late 90s.
So old-fashioned.
That's right. How about old school for Brett Favre for the kids that don't know?
Southern Miss.
Very good.
Southern Miss. And he was a part of a game that was big in college. I forgot. Didn't they beat someone or they lost to someone, but it was close, like a Florida State or something like that?
That is wonderfully specific. No, I know what you're talking about, though. Yeah, no, I do know what you're talking. I can't remember the game. I can't remember the team that they were playing.
Specific, except for I can't remember the game,
yeah, right.
but you know what I'm talking about.
Exactly. One other quick one is Geno Smith. Geno is 29 years old today. Old school for Geno.
Man, I tell you what, for the first five or six games of that year, he was threading the needle,
yep.
And I was all about Geno. I was like, you know, I love my brother quarterbacks, and I thought, well, look how accurate. I mean, he was threading the needle on some of those balls at West Virginia.
West Virginia is absolutely
correct. 48-45 overtime game here.
Yep. Oh, yeah, that's a heck of a game. He had some weapons. Out there. Also,
you have one now.
That's right.
He's not a huge NFL weapon, but
we have what's left of him.
You guys messed around with him a little bit this last game.
Play around
were
a little
there
bit.
A jet sweepy poo in there.
There was a little Tavon Austin, a little what's left to Tavon Austin.
Right.
Throw it out there. Also for you NASCAR heads, Dale Jr. is 45 years old today, the most popular NASCAR driver for like 15 years in a row before he retired.
I always liked him.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
He seemed to kind of go by the beat of his own drum.
Yeah, he definitely.
Even when he left.
Right. Took a lot of guts to do it.
Yeah.
And that took a lot of guts to be willing to, you know, to say, all right, I got to go. He's still very much involved in the business, but just not driving anymore. All right. Second hour, we'll begin with Dustin McComas. He said on Twitter, we got to talk about that bullpen usage for the Dodgers. I'm sure he doesn't want to talk about that.
He was all over it.
We'll start with baseball, and then we'll move to the Longhorns and the Sooners and see if he's picking Texas or OU. That is coming up. We're at HEB on 79. Come get registered for the Coors Light Silver Bullet seats for the next home game. That is the Kansas game. You're going to hear Texas OU Saturday morning at 11 right here on the Horn.